I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows.
Well, we're looking for that graduation day. Thank God. I mean, I believe that's the thing every born again believers really looking for. It's home. I mean, I don't think nobody's in a hurry to get out of here and die and all of that. And there's things about death we don't know anything about. But I'll say this, that's when life begins. I believe that. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Daniel. And I want to try to preach just for a few minutes. And me and Brother Robert and John were standing over in the road the other day over here beside the house. And we were talking about this book, and this is an interesting book to me. A lot of the things in this book is sealed up, and there's a lot of things that God reveals to us through these writings. And I want to look at, and I've preached out of this scripture a few times before, Daniel chapter 1. But I want to look at it for a few minutes. We were talking, and I went back and got to reading again, and reading about some things on over in here. But as I begin to read, I tend to not just jump in when I'm reading a book in the Bible. I tend not to just jump in the middle of it and take off somewhere. I tend to go back to the beginning, and I try to really keep things in its context. That's very important to me. It helps me. And I like to see where the Lord's going with things. And anyway, this wasn't what we were talking about. But as I began to do that again, starting in the first part of the book of Daniel, I seen some things in here. Just the Lord just kindly revealed things in a different way to me. And I'd like to read it, a little bit of it tonight. The Bible said in verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake to Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the princes of the eunuchs gave name, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and Mishael of Meshach, and Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your face worse likened than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all manners of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Fathers, we bow, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, to help us for a while. Lord, I appreciate the word of God. We ask you today, Lord, to enlighten our hearts and quicken our mind, our tongue, Lord. Lord, and let us preach the word of God. We ask you tonight that you would bless for Jesus' sake, Lord. We ask everything in his name. Amen. I want to talk to you about this just a little bit. And I've got a verse that I leave laying back there on my desk. And I thought about this verse a lot when I was reading this again. The verse is Lamentations 4 and 5. And it says, they that fed delicately are desolate in the streets. And they that were brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills. And Jeremiah wrote that. And I believe that Daniel lived it. It's what I'm trying to say here, trying to get across to you. They that fed delicately are desolate in the streets. And they that brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills. Say, why would you say that? Because this scarlet business, that has to do with the priesthood, that has to do with the royalty. Daniel and these three Hebrew boys, they were out of Judah.
Amen.
They were chosen among the children of Judah and among the princes. And I think Jeremiah saw the children of Israel going into captivity. I think we know that in the book of Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations, he wrote about this. We find out later on over here that you'll find out that Daniel somehow has the parchments or the scrolls of the book of Jeremiah, and he reads them. And because as he reads them, Daniel gets tore up, I believe, and he begins to pray. And because he finds out that in the book of Jeremiah, they're down there in captivity, and he finds out that they're going to be down there. According to Jeremiah, they're going to be down there 70 years.
Amen.
And I believe the Bible teaches us here that Daniel's a child. And he's going to spend most all of his life in captivity. And he begins to pray.
Amen.
And he asked the Lord. He asked him, you know. I mean, he confesses all of Israel's sins. He tells them they're guilty. And he asked him, would you be merciful? Then the angel comes and speaks to him and said, 70 days is determined. 70 weeks is determined what he says. You're staying in captivity the whole time. You're not getting out. This is what God said, and this is what's going to happen. You're staying down here. And I'm not going to as I said this morning, I'm not going to run that rabbit and talk about the 69 week and 70 weeks and all that. All that happened. That happened in Daniel's day. That's over. That was a prayer that he prayed and said, I want out of captivity. Would you let us out? And he said, no, 70 weeks is determined. You're down here. You're staying. In 69 weeks, Ezra come along. Those prophets come along. They went and started working on the temple again. Anyway, like I said, I'm be careful not run that rabbit. That ain't where I'm wanting to preach. But anyway, I want to talk to you about Daniel a little bit. I was reading this and I thought about how sad would it be? It's got on my heart. And I look here tonight and there ain't many of us here. But I want to say that's by choice. Whether people come to the house of God or whether they don't. Amen. How sad would it be as in Daniel's day and you don't have a choice? You don't have a choice. In fact, the temple has been destroyed. In fact, they went into the temple and took everything out and took it into the house of their gods. And let me say this. The judgment of God fell on the children of Israel. Amen. God declared this. This was going to happen.
Amen.
It's going to happen because they rejected Him. They went and served other idols and other gods and Amen. Built other groves and done all these other things. So the Lord said, no, you're going down there. This is going to be a punishment to you. He's getting them hungry again. I don't know that. I'll be honest with you. All of this business is to Israel. I read a scripture and I'm going to flip over so I don't mess it up. In the book of Romans. And it's also in Psalms chapter 62. Romans chapter 11. The Bible said in verse 9, and David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Boy, and that just jumped out at me the other day when I read that. Let their table be a snare. Let it be a trap. Let it be a stumbling block. No, he's talking about the children of Israel. And see, they kept eating from the table of Moses. They kept eating the law. They could never see Jesus as the Messiah. And it became a trap to them. You'll go on and read the rest of this. The Bible said they had eyes, but they couldn't hear. They couldn't see, had ears, but they couldn't hear. And the Lord put on them the spirit of slumber.
Amen.
But the Lord's promised them that He's going to open their eyes one day. And He's going to open their ears one day. And He's going to put in them a heart of flesh instead of a heart of a stone. He's going to do some things for them. But then you go on in Romans chapter 11 and you'll find out that he says some other things talking to the Gentiles. And he says something like this, if you continue in his goodness, lest you be cut off also. So my advice is stay with the goodness of God. This ain't us being good, this is God being good. But then I noticed something also. When this takes place, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And I believe that's happened. I believe I said this morning that we're in the gleaning days. We're just getting one here and one there. I don't think as far as Gentiles, you're going to see a huge revival or anything like that. There's going to be a revival, but it's going to be Israel.
Amen.
Their eyes are going to be open. Their ears are going to be open. And their hearts are going to be changed. They're going to have it. But what scares me is this. The Gentiles. because that's who we are. And it bothers me when I read these scriptures that God judged this crowd, and he did judge them and put them down there. Now, here's where I want to preach for a few minutes. And there ain't many youngins here. But I'm wondering and I'm contemplating. Look what happened here. They took the children away from their parents. They took them. Well, you do understand the way the government looks at children in the United States now. They don't belong to the parents. They belong to them.
Amen.
We see that all the time. We've seen it this week. We've seen a social worker just show up and said, we're going to question kids, and there ain't nothing you can do. Which it wasn't nothing we was doing. It's something somebody else done. You know, I'll throw that out there just for anybody listening. You know, they was checking on the health and welfare of the youngins. You know, and I can't say that's always a bad thing. But see, they believe that they belong to them. At any point, they can step in and take them.
Yes, sir.
And I want to say this. Here, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, says, we're going to take your youngins and we're going to teach them for 3 years. And we're going to feed them. Now, I'm talking about this table over in Romans chapter 11. That's where I'm trying to go with this.
Bless you, Lord.
That table become a trap and a snare and a stumbling block. Now, how would you feel if you was taken from your parents and you was all alone and you didn't have nothing? And you didn't know. See, I mean, we get a certain comfort from mom and dad. When I was little, I didn't worry about, now maybe they did, but I didn't worry about what was in the refrigerator or in the cabinets. I didn't worry about getting food. But these are worries that they all of a sudden had because they were taken away. I wasn't worried about clothes. I wasn't worried about certain things. But now you've got these children, they've been taken away. But now they're presented with another option. I mean, and the option is, and the word on the street is, we're going to treat you better than your mom and dad did. We're going to feed you like the king eats. We're going to give you what he drinks. We're going to let you dress the way he dresses. We're going to make you part of higher society. I've been thinking a lot about this. That's going on now.
Amen.
In the culture we live in. They teach your youngins how to, first of all, they take them away from you. They've already done that. Most youngins are not, and I know this ain't popular, but I'm going to say it anyway. Most youngins are not raised by mom and dad anymore. They're raised by a telephone. I mean, if you're having problems with your phone, give it to little Susie and she'll fix it for you. That's just the honest truth. I thank God I didn't have them things when I was a little fella. Now I'm talking about the table they're eating from. That table become a trap. These children, all but four of them, we're trapped. They liked it. Them children of Israel, they didn't worry that the house of God was gone anymore. Does that look familiar? They didn't worry the church was torn down. They had become trapped, I mean, from the table. But we got it made now. We got somebody taking care of us, being good to us. It become a stumbling block to them. The only ones I'm really concerned about here, and I'm wondering how Daniel, how he got anything in his heart outside of the providence of God, but the Bible said he purposed in his heart. I don't know how he done it. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't do that. Now, he is a child. He didn't have mom and daddy influence. He didn't have the priest influence. All that's gone. He didn't have nobody preaching to him.
Man.
Boy, I'd like to have that spirit around, wouldn't you? That could get in somebody. And when nobody else is around to influence, they just decide, I'm going with God anyway. And I understand the king don't like it. I understand that the people they put over us don't like it.
Amen.
But the only ones that had any help from God is these four boys. And really, they just went with Daniel, I believe. I didn't see where they purposed in their heart. I think they may have just been in the same dormitory, you might say. They might have just been in close ranks with him. They might have just been followers, you might say. Hey, that's encouraging, ain't it? If somebody decides they're going to go with God no matter what everybody else does, they might be somebody to go along with you. God may just have somebody there for you. God may have somebody there to encourage you. I find out here that they end up in trouble and it ain't long because Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He can't remember the dream, but he wants the interpretation of it. He goes to the magicians and astrologers and all that and said, I want you to tell me the interpretation of this dream. They say, tell us the dream and we'll interpret it. He said, I don't know it. You're going to have to give me that also. And they tell him, nobody can do this except God. Well, ain't that a blessing? Because there's one boy in there that knows God. And he's got him a prayer team.
Yeah.
And he goes to them fellas and said, boys, y'all pray that God would reveal this thing to me. Y'all pray and God will show me this.
Yeah,
the king don't know we ain't been eating his meat. The king don't know we ain't been drinking his wine. The king don't know my heart is not inclined to this land. I don't want to look like them. I don't want to act like them. I don't want to be like them.
Amen.
Listen, David was eating from a different table. I said David. Daniel was eating from a different table.
Amen.
He wasn't trapped. So how come? Because he'd given his heart to God.
Amen.
He didn't have a stumbling block or a snare. You know what a snare is? Snare is something set at a threshold or a door. And when you go through it, it's got you. You got a rope around your neck. You got a leash on you. You're tied down. You're like a dog on a chain. It ain't long before you got a circle that you've run and you've made you you know exactly where your boundaries are. But here's what I want to say. Here are some fellas that had no boundaries. They didn't have any boundaries. When they needed something, they didn't look. They didn't look to the priest. They didn't look to Judah. They didn't look to Israel. They didn't look to the astrologers. They didn't look to the magicians. They didn't look to the Chaldeans. They didn't have those restrictions. They looked to heaven. And things were revealed to them that nobody else knew. But it wasn't long. They got promoted because of their freedom. Their heart wasn't caught in this trap because of the table. I mean, because they decided, here's the thing about it. You get blinded. If you ain't careful, this world, if you eat from the table of this world too much, it ain't long until you're trapped. Amen. You're snared. You got a stumbling block. You ever seen people that just can't never get it together? They're always just stumbling from one place to another. Well, I got the answer. Where are they eating from?
Amen.
There's got to be, and I want to say it to change. It's really just giving your heart to God.
Amen.
And He'll direct the rest.
Amen.
I mean, just say whatever you want. Let's go with that for a while. Because all of my friends and all of those around me, they're gone. They're in captivity.
Amen.
Do you realize the only one that wasn't in captivity is these four Hebrew boys down there?
Right.
Now, Daniel wanted to go back to the homeland. As far as I know, he didn't get to do that. But he wasn't bound.
Right.
He wasn't bound by the borders of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Now, when he needed to, he'd take a trip to heaven. He wasn't bound by the teachers of the Chaldeans, the magicians or astrologers. When he needed wisdom, he didn't go to them. He went to God. I mean, the Bible said something like this: let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. Don't get bound by the worldly wisdom. God may tell you things completely contrary to the world. He won't tell you things contrary to the Word of God, but He'll tell you things contrary to the world. The Bible said that the table that they eat from become a trap and a snare and a stumbling block and a recompense. It caused problems. The whole nation of Israel become blind because they kept eating from the law of Moses. They kept eating from the manna from above, but never would take the bread of life, which was Jesus. And they're blinded to who the Messiah is. But, and I said it this morning, I'm glad that He's going to open their eyes. But I'll say this, that as He's opening their eyes, He don't cut the church off. He don't cut the church off. But this church age is in a mess. Because God's pulling off of it. And that's hard to preach, isn't it? It's even harder to receive. Think, what are we going to do? Well, the Lord said He'd never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
We're just gleaning to get the others in that want to go, give their heart to God.
Amen.
Trying to tell those we can. I seen this today, and you say, well, you're just crazy on this. Well, look it up. I've been preaching this for a long time here in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar has this very dream that I'm talking about. It's a head of gold, and then silver, bronze, iron, and clay as it goes down. The Bible said that the iron and clay is mingled together. And then he explains that. He said when the iron is mixed with the seed of men. I've been preaching that for a long time. These natural brute beasts. The Bible said over there in Genesis, those sons of God took women, took the daughters of men, of all they chose. They had children, men of renown. But I've seen this, maybe some of y'all seen that also. They say that the Y chromosome is degenerating in mankind. Well, that don't surprise me. I believe that. Because I think there's less true mankind than we think there really was or are. I believe we got some natural brute beasts that's mingled in now, and they don't have the Y chromosome. So you're crazy. I know it. I understand that.
Preach on.
But those fallen sons of God and the creation of God's hands is two different things. Cain was of the wicked one. I don't know what kind of chromosome Satan has. But apparently it ain't a Y. And they say it's going to take millions of years for this to take place, but humanity will eventually either be gone or they'll have to come up with some other reproductive chromosome. I believe when the devil gets turned loose on this thing, it ain't going to take near as long as you think it is. I don't think it'll take long at all. But anyway, I mean, they wasn't many generations went by when the sons of God saw the daughters of men. God pulled off of that thing. Oh, Lord. But what I want to get off of that, I want to say this. The Bible said they eat from that table and it become a snare. It become a trap. It become a stumbling block. And it become a recompense. God gave us a table to eat from. And listen to me. He gave us a place to eat. He's given us manna from heaven, the bread of life, and a place to come eat. But if you ain't careful, it'll be like it was in the book of Daniel when all of that's been taken away. And in fact, I think a lot of it's already been taken away in a lot of places. There's a lot of them that used to be the house of God, and you walk in them, you think you're walking in a nightclub.
Yeah.
All of the instruments of worship's already been taken out. The Spirit of God's already gone.
Yes, sir.
And I won't say this, they're already trapped.
Yep.
They're already snared. They can't go back. No. They done sold out. They're eating from another table. They've done sold out to another gospel and another Jesus and another spirit. I read that. And it's on us. But this is scary stuff to me. But my prayer is this. I sit back there and I read that scripture a lot. And I thought about Daniel. He once was dressed in scarlet back in that land. He'd been brought into captivity. And they're telling them, and I ain't said much, they're telling them you're living in prosperity. They're telling them you're eating the king's meat and drinking the king's wine. But you know what the Lord thinks about it? He said you're in a dunghill. Everybody knows what that is, don't you? You're in a dunghill. You think you've got it made now, but you're in a dunghill. The only one that I can find in that day, or maybe the four that I can find, that had a problem with where they were at was Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I never heard where any of them others caused any problems. I never seen where they went against the king. The only ones that had any problem with it was the ones that refused to eat from the table that Nebuchadnezzar set for them. They said, no, we're going to trust God to take care of us. And I understand that's hard because you end up in a den of lions. And you end up in a fiery furnace. You end up enemies of the state. Everybody talks bad about you if you don't go their way. But I'll say this. Heaven didn't talk bad about them. When everybody else was gone, the Lord come and bore witness that they were His. Thank God. All right, I'm going to let you stand to your feet and we'll go. But I appreciate the Lord. He'll help us if you let Him. My biggest thing is I don't want to get to where I take the church or the opportunity we have to come to the house of God for granted. I really don't. Yeah. All right. Brother Will, you pray for us if you will.
Our Father, as we come tonight, we do thank you again for the privilege to come to the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for your service. We thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for the preached Word of God. And our Father, we see it, look at it. Our Father, it is scary in the day that we live. Our Father, I pray tonight, O God, that we'll come and eat from your table. We'll eat from this Word of God, our Father. I pray, our Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, that we'll just stay with it, our Father. Oh God, the old will of God, our Father, left us something, Lord. God, we appreciate our Father from the depths of our soul and out our Father. Lord God, our Father, these loads, our Father, that you're coming on. Our Father, outside of the blood of Jesus, Lord, they can't go there to that real place. Our Father, I thank you tonight for the gospel. I thank you, Lord God, for the Word of God, the grace of God, our Father. Lord, I pray for you children tonight, our Father. Yes. Oh, God, Lord, our Father, man, God said, Lord, may we take it to heart, our Father. Almighty God, help us, and we'll thank you. Go with us. Our Father, Lord God, thank you again for this season, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen.